Happy September 15th to everyone in MRAP land. This is Swami, and I've got your mid-month snack. This month, we're going to briefly discuss the Airways 2 paper that came out back in August. This is by Benger et al., Effect of a Strategy of a Supraglottic Airway Device versus Tracheal Intubation During Out-of-Hospital Cardiac Arrest on Functional Outcome, the Airways 2 Randomized Clinical Trial in JAMA. The study sought to help answer the question of what advanced airway technique is superior in cardiac arrest and compared supraglottic airway devices to standard endotracheal intubation. The study design was really interesting in that they randomized the paramedics instead of the patients. Basically, a paramedic could select into the study and then picked whether they wanted to be in the supraglottic device arm or in the intubation arm. When the paramedic showed up to the out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, they would pursue that approach. The primary outcome was a good neurologic outcome judged as a modified Rankin scale score of 0 to 3 at 30 days or at hospital discharge. They enrolled over 9,000 patients, and the bottom line was that there was no statistically significant difference in good outcomes between the groups, 6.4% in the supraglottic device arm and 6.8% in the intubation arm. They also looked at things like aspiration and regurgitation, and they found that that was no different between groups either. There's a lot of interesting things in this trial, and one of them was the fact that 1,700 patients received no airway management at all, and that group had excellent overall outcomes with about 21% having good functional outcomes. What happened in that group was that many of them had ROSC early in the cardiac arrest care, and it made sense that no airway was performed and that this set of patients would have better overall outcomes. I don't want to go deep into the evidence-based medicine in this paper. A number of our friends have done that on their blogs, including Salim Rezai and Rory Spiegel. Instead, I want to really get into where we are in cardiac arrest care and where we're moving in terms of airway and how this paper affects that. When I started as an intern, we were still going ABC in cardiac arrest, meaning the airway took primacy. Many of you were in the same boat. We could see cardiac arrest patients come in, someone would go to the airway, and if they couldn't get it, they'd ask for compressions to be held, and we would hold them. There was so much focus on establishing the advanced airway and delivering drugs, and far less focus on good compressions in terms of depth, rate, and compression fraction. Over the last 10 years, we've learned that this was a mistake. The airway-first approach led to long pauses in compressions and long no or low flow times for the patient. Subsequent iterations of ACLs have reprioritized defibrillation and compressions and de-emphasized the airway. An article earlier this year by Jabber and colleagues in JAMA compared BVM to endotracheal intubation out of hospital cardiac arrest and found no difference between groups in terms of outcomes. We still don't have a study comparing BVM to supraglottic airway, but it's hard to imagine that there's going to be much difference, though as my friend Salim pointed out, good BVM requires two sets of hands, while supraglottic device only requires one set of hands, and for a lot of folks, extra set of hands isn't going to be available. All of this evidence really makes us continue to rethink airway management and out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. Here's what I've been doing. BVM during the arrest. If I can't get a good steal with the mask or I don't have enough hands, drop a supraglottic device. This basically moves the face mask from external to internal. Once ROSC is achieved, the patient can be intubated if necessary. If the patient has vomitus or other junk in the airway during the arrest, maybe that's enough to intubate the patient. What this approach does is remove the team's focus from the airway. Instead, we can focus on providing good compressions, applying electricity when indicated, and thinking about the possible reversible causes. Whether this is the ideal approach or not isn't clear. It's just one person's interpretation of where we are in airway management, and we would love to hear from you guys what you're doing. There's your mid-month bonus. The Airways 2 study found no difference in good neural outcomes between an intubate-first approach or a supraglottic device-first approach in out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. Let's close up with a little MRAP update. If you've been with us the last couple of months, you already know about all the additional programs that are included in your MRAP subscription. EMA, 30 abstracts every month reviewed by Sanjay and Mike. Crunch Time, your board review destination, and the questions and quizzes are increasing every day. LLSA for the last 3 years, 2016, 2017, and 2018. And then, of course, there's the MRAP HD, C3, and so much more. The MRAP team is also back in the conference game, and we'll be doing a one-day track on Wednesday, October 3rd at ASIP in San Diego. We'll be talking acute pulmonary edema, MI, and trauma, and so much more. Registration for the event is filling up fast, so pop over to the ASIP website and register for the MRAP day. And even if you don't, drop by the MRAP booth at ASIP and say hi. A bunch of the faculty are going to be around, and we'd love to meet you all. Until next month, remember that what you do matters. See you all soon.